Today's scripture reading is from Luke 13, 31 through 35, Jesus' sorrow for Jerusalem. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So yeah, let's talk about what we're doing for Lent for just a minute. Please don't ever feel like, as we talk about this, that I know not everybody does kind of Lenten sacrifices or devotionals or things like that. So please don't feel like, you know, I'm putting you on the spot, but I always do like to hear what people are doing, if you're doing. So what are some of you all doing for Lent this year? Yes. Perfect. Reading the Lenten devotional that's laid out there, really enjoying it. That's wonderful. Thank you. Anybody else? What you doing? Yes. Okay, so devotional about the hymns and the hymns related to this season and learning more about those and letting those spiritual direct, fantastic. Choir, anything else? That's all right. That's okay. Anybody outside of the choir that you got to practice this year? Yeah. Walking every day. Good health practice. Whole health. I like it. Anybody else? Okay. Always encourage these Lenten things. I think they're very helpful. And the goal is to, as we enter towards the celebration of Easter, that we would have something to celebrate about as we spent the Lenten season growing closer to God in our faith in that way. So always want to encourage that. And even for those of you that maybe, you know, we're into week two, I don't know. I think tomorrow's a good time to start. So if you want to grab one of the Lent devotionals on your way out, just encourage that. Today, we're going to talk about conceal me, right? Conceal me. And so it reminds me of a story that I heard once about it. You know, we've had some fires throughout the nation because of the high winds and all of that. And so it reminds me of a story I heard about similar fires, high winds, kind of came through a national forest area. And the firefighters kind of came through afterwards and put different fires out and things like that. And a fireman was passing by and he saw this kind of charcoaly clump on the ground and thought he saw it kind of move a little bit. And he kind of gave it a little kick. And when he gave that little charcoal clump a little kick, a couple baby chicks came out from underneath that charcoal clump. And the firefighter realized that it was the baby, it was their mama hen. And the mama hen had laid herself on top of her babies, and the fire came through, and it took her life, but she was able to save her chicks. And it cost her her life, but it was worth it for her babies. And so that's the image that kind of stays with me today as we approach our scripture, because it captures the heart of Jesus' care and his love for Jerusalem. And the scripture passage said, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." You were not willing. And so it's an image of profound love and sacrifice and longing, a love that shelters, that protects, that invites us into a place of refuge that shelters us. So we're going to come back to that. But before we get too far ahead, let's talk about the context of Jesus' words in our scripture passage today in Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, walking a path that will lead to his suffering and his death, to his sacrifice as a mother hen, right? He is on that journey. Along the way, some Pharisees, they approach him and they have a warning for him, right? And their warning is this: Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, it's worth noting that not all of the Pharisees were opposed to Jesus. I mean, throughout the entirety of the Gospels, not all of them were opposed to Jesus. Some genuinely respected him. And these folks may have not been trying to hurt him. They may have been trying to protect him. But others didn't respect him. Others wanted to move him along. Others saw him as a threat to their power, a threat to all that they had established. They were afraid that if he came into Jerusalem, that he would disrupt the power that they had as Pharisees, and they were ready for him to move along. And we don't really get a sense right here which these were. Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, was a cunning and dangerous man. Jesus responds boldly to these Pharisees and says about Herod, go and tell that fox. Go and tell that fox. Now, in the ancient world, calling someone a fox wasn't just an insult. It implied someone was sly, but ultimately weak. Sly and weak. An insignificant predator in comparison to the great purposes of God and God's good work in people's lives. And so Jesus knew that Herod's power was nothing that could surpass God's plan and God's goodness. He would not be swayed by his fear. Then Jesus turns his attention to Jerusalem after addressing the Pharisees and the city that had long rejected prophets. This was just the nature of Jerusalem. It was the nature of the people in Jerusalem to reject the prophets that the Lord had sent to them to give them a warning. His lament is deeply personal because he knows that his future is the future of all prophets. He says, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, is what Jesus, the words of Jesus. This is not an image of a warrior king or a fierce lion, but a motherly hen, tender, vulnerable, self-giving. That's the image. Jesus' words in this passage challenge us to consider, what will we trust? What will we trust more? Will we trust our fears, or will we trust the love of God more? Fear is a powerful force in our world. Isn't fear powerful? Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of not having enough in your life, fear of the unknown. Isn't that pretty major right now in our lives? Fear of the unknown as we look at all that's happening throughout the world and in our nation and in our churches. Don't we have this intense fear of the unknown future that is before us? And it drives our decisions, it shapes us, it shapes how we relate to one another. This fear takes over in our minds. And so the people of Jerusalem resisted God's embrace because fear made them cling to their own ways and their own self-preservation. But Jesus offers an alternative. He offers the divine shelter of love. The divine shelter of love. There's a story about John Wesley that's really appropriate right now when we talk about this. Fits well. On his first voyage, well, his only voyage, to America, right? It was 1735, and he's on the ship, and he's coming across, and all of a sudden these great winds pick up, and a great storm, and thunder, and lightning, and it's pounding the boat, and everybody's freaking out. And he's freaking out. And it looks like all could be lost. Like this could be the end. except for a small group of Moravian Christians. And that's a denominational group we don't hear of anymore. But in those days, there were these Moravian Christians. And they were all huddled together on the boat. And while others screamed in terror and, oh God, save us, help us, the Moravians calmly sang hymns. They calmly sang hymns and they seemed completely at peace while everybody else was losing their ever-loving minds. And Wesley later asked them how it could be that they would be so unshaken amongst all the storms and possibly the loss of life. And their response was simply, we are sheltered in the love of God. We are sheltered in the love of God. So Wesley was deeply impacted by their faith. Like, he saw something in them and he said, whatever they got, that's what I want. Like, I want to be able to respond to life's storms that way, right? And so he realized that he had been living with fear in his life rather than just fully trusting in God. Just saying, look, God's got it. And so that experience led him to seek a deeper assurance of his salvation, because frankly, he had a lot of fear around that. Am I saved? Is God salvation for me? And so he got a lot of assurance in that, and it transformed his life and his ministry. And because of that, here we are. I don't know, like, maybe had he not met those Moravians that day, maybe we wouldn't be here as the Methodist people. I don't know. But here we are because he was shaped by that experience. So when we replace fear with trust in God's love, something powerful happens within us. Something is kindled. Something is opened. We begin to see God's presence in the world. We see our place as responding to his love in our Christ-like love that we provide to others. And so Jesus' lament over Jerusalem wasn't just about the city's past failures, because they had had past failures, and he knew that. He knew what he was walking into. It was a call for transformation, to be transformed. And so when we seek God's face, when we align our hearts with the love of Christ, and I believe the love of Christ to be so profound and so shaped, and it's what I want to see people shaped by, is love, not fear. When it comes to who we are as, I would think, Methodist people and Christians in general. And so we participate in creating a community that reflects God's boundless love and his boundless grace. Like, that's what we're trying to do. For one another and for others, for our community. This Sunday, this is the 5-year anniversary of when the COVID shutdown began. 5 years ago. 5 years ago. I was at my previous church. I was in Hallsville, Missouri. I mean, I remember the day, like, distinctly. The day before the shutdown, I remember it distinctly. I remember that Sunday as if it was just yesterday, and I just had a hunch, like, based upon everything we had seen in the news, everything that was going on, like, I had this hunch, like, stuff is getting ready to shut down. They're going to ask us to do this thing. I really think it's going to happen. And so I said something at the end of service. I remember we wrapped up service, gave benediction. I said, folks, I just want you to know, it looks like, you know, we may be away from each other for a while. Because of what's getting ready to happen. And I remember seeing people's faces, like the look on people's faces of terror, of fear. And I remember I had a young lady, she came up to me afterwards, and she said, Pastor Jim, don't you think this is just media hype? Like, don't you think this is just being built up? This is great news, and that's what's going on. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I hope. But it wasn't, was it? Like, it wasn't just media hype. And so one of the things that I did on that Sunday is I instinctively asked all of our leaders, I said, if you're a leader in this church, I want you to stay afterwards because we're gonna talk through this. And so all of those leaders, we went into the fellowship hall, we sat down together, and we laid out a plan for our congregation of if this happened, what we were going to do and how we were going to respond. And that's exactly what we did. We followed that plan. We developed a call chain. We developed a plan to make sure people got groceries, to make sure people got medications, like how we were gonna do it, how we were gonna move worship to online, and how we were gonna continue to be a worshiping body and a prayerful congregation, even amongst, like, the fear and the panic and the change. So people were afraid. We were all afraid. But we were ready to step up and step out and to assist each other as was needed. And everyone followed the plan and did what was needed. And we stayed in community. We stayed in support of one another. We eventually came back. We gathered back together. And I was very proud of my church and how we handled that and how we stayed church. How we helped one another, right? For me, as I reflect on that and think back 5 years ago, it's a powerful image of I think what the church is meant to be. And friends, it just takes crisis sometimes. It takes crisis for us to get over kind of little things and things that we're afraid of to really be community and to care for one another. And that's what it was. We had crisis. And we worked it out. But church and this community is hopefully a place where we can lift each other up, where we can create community that gathers around hope rather than leaving people to face the storm alone. Because you and I both know there's nothing more terrifying than facing storms alone. And so Jesus' words, they remind us that we're called to be a part of the divine gathering work of being under the shelter. We're all a part of this gathering work. If God's heart longs to shelter the lost, then our calling as the body of Christ is to extend that same love to other people, that other people might know you can gather with us, with God, right? To people who are fearful, who are outcast, who are hurting in their lives because of different experiences, who are seeking, who are asking questions. You know, nothing helps a skeptic more than community, being a part of something, being invited in, even though you're a little bit skeptical, to experience the love of the body of Christ. So, how do we here respond to Jesus' call to be gathered under his wings, to be sheltered under his wings? First, this is hard, but release fear's grip. Release fear's grip. What fears are you holding right now? Like, what are the things that are frightening you, that you want to trust God's love, but this thing, it's heavy, right? This week, here's what I want you to do. Whatever that thing is, I want you to name it before God. I want you to pray about it. I want you to say, God, I maybe you've prayed it a million times. Lord, I'm praying it again. Like, this is the thing that I'm just terrified of. And I'm just giving it to you. One more time, I'm giving it to you. And the challenge is for us to trust God's love is stronger than our anxieties. And sometimes that means we have those anxieties and we take the step because God calls us to it. Second, I want to encourage you to seek God's face daily. Seek his face daily. Make time to intentionally seek God's presence through prayer and scripture and acts of worship. It's amazing when we do this, how God ministers to us. Even this morning as I was going through my devotional, I'm always a little anxious for Sunday morning. As I read through that stuff, I got a peace about me. God ministered to me in that moment, in that time. And so, you know, our big value for the month, we keep lifting up our values. And this month we're lifting up stay in love with God. And when we say stay in love with God, we mean stay in relationship to God, with God, through scripture and prayer and meditation and stillness and service. So if you feel like that's lacking and you feel like that connection with God is lacking, we believe this can bring about greater connection, more of a focus on God, more of the experience of his grace and his love in your life daily, daily. Last thing, third thing, is we want to extend Christ's love to others. We want to be an extension of God's, these motherly hen's wings, right? That we might be an extension of that. And so what I want to ask you today is, who in your life needs to experience God's sheltering love? I mean, you can pray that name right now. You can pray that name. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a friend or a family member. Or a neighbor, look for ways to be a reflection of God's compassion for the world. Jesus' final words in this passage, they give us hope, right? They give us hope. He says, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And so despite Jerusalem's rejection of him, despite the crucifixion that is awaiting him, Jesus does not give up on Jerusalem. His invitation remains open through all times. That is the heart of the gospel. That is the reminder of our gospel lesson and story. The relentless love of God that continues to call us home. Sometimes we Methodists talk about God's wooing. God constantly wooing us back to him in relationship with him because of his great love for us. That we might be wooed by the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. So today, hear the invitation anew. Hear the invitation anew. Come under the shelter of his wings. Let go of the fear. Trust in God's love. Become a part of the gathering work of gracefulness to our community and to the people that you know. Because in the shadow of the divine wings, we find not only refuge, but we find courage to bring others into the hope of Jesus Christ as well. He compels us to do such things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this image, this mother hen sheltering her young, sheltering her children. Lord, we thank you that we are your children. Jesus, it's interesting, in the Gospel of John, you said, you know, I have other children too, children you don't know of. Lord, we don't know who we see day to day. They don't seem like us, but they're yours. They're yours. Lord, keep our hearts warm and compassionate. Help us to invite others into your fold. And Lord, for those this morning who are fearful, and I don't know, but you know, Lord, grant them a measure of peace this morning. Speak to their hearts, offer them comfort, because you are the great comforter. And we receive that in this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.